afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, April the 12th, 2016, 12:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are not going to want to leave your radio for the next 2 hours because there is a lot going on in Marion today. Now, next hour, we're going to be joined between 1:10 and 2 o'clock by Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. Now, I have spoken to Jim. I spoke to Jim on Sunday night, and Jim said he wanted to come on today. He wanted to make a special announcement, a big announcement, regarding something here in Marion, and he's going to do that on our show today between 1:10 and 2 p.m. So Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, the son of Elizabeth, who was the daughter of Nan Britton and President Warren G. Harding, will be along today, 1:10 to 2 p.m. with a big announcement. Don't miss that. Now, this hour is going to be wrapped around Harding, too, because even as we speak right now, there is a meeting going on in the Harding Hotel here in Marion, a presentation that several were invited to. I believe two members of the Harding family are in town, Warren and Richard, and something big is going on in regard to President Harding, and that will be brought out here, hopefully within the next few minutes. We hope to be joined in this hour by Jim Robinault, the author of The Harding Affair, the book that exposed, I don't want to say exposed, maybe the book that shed light on McCary Phillips and Warren G. Harding Affair that went on. He will be joining us. Maybe he'll have some light on the big announcement going on here in town as we speak, the big meeting up at the Harding Hotel. And maybe some of the Hardings will join us, depending on how long the meeting goes, because as I said, I do know Richard and Warren Harding, who are nephews of President Warren G. Harding, are in town. So today, we may be filled with Hardings on this program. So, it's going to be a big day. Now, the week is going to be big, so you got to tune in the rest of the week at this time, too, because tomorrow on the program, from 12:10 to 1 o'clock, we're going to be joined live in studio by James Cronenberger. James Cronenberger was falsely imprisoned for 18 years for attempted kidnapping. James Cronenberger will be live tomorrow, 12:10 to 1 p.m., live in this studio to share his experiences with being falsely imprisoned. Tomorrow, 1:10 to 2 p.m., are you a fan of mystery? Are you a fan of Ohio? Are you a fan of criminal cases? Well, tomorrow's the show for you, because tomorrow from 1:10 to 2 p.m., we're going to be joined by the man who got Dr. Sam Shepard off the hook after he was in prison, F. Lee Bailey. So you won't want to miss that. Remember, tomorrow on the program, Wednesday at 1:10 p.m., we're going to be joined by the lawyer who got Dr. Sam Shepard off the hook and was one of the key factors in the O.J. Simpson trial, F. Lee Bailey. Tomorrow on this program, 1:10 to 2 p.m., and then Thursday we're going to be joined by Ron Schreider, former Marion County Sheriff, who is being running again for sheriff this year after almost a 30-year absence as sheriff, and he's going to unveil his plan to beat the drug problem here in Marion. That'll be 12:10 to 1 p.m. on Thursday. So tomorrow we've got James Cronenberger, we've got F. Lee Bailey, we've got Ron Schreider on Thursday, and today dedicated to President Warren G. Harding, with a big meeting going up, even as we speak, at the Harding Hotel here in Marion. Now, our first guest is a gentleman I've had on many times. He's always a great guest. As I said, he published The Harding Affair back in 2009. It was a great book, a great big celebration here in Marion. It dealt with President Harding's relationship with Warren G. Harding and those Carry Phillips. Those letters that were such an important part of history here in Marion, and we're so glad to welcome to these microphones Jim Robinault. Jim, how are you?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
Always good to hear from you.
Same here. Same here.
So we know today that something is going on over at the Harding Hotel to deal with President Harding. The meeting is going on right now. What's your intake or knowledge of what's going on over there?
Well, I don't know that much about it, other than I know they want to establish this Harding Presidential Center to, you know, archive a lot of the stuff and have a building that is appropriate for the home. And I know that's going on, and that's going to be announced. And, you know, you have at least suggested that there's news about Jim Blessing and the family being involved in something today. So that's about as much as I know about it.
Well, it's interesting because I was telling the listeners before you called in that Jim Blessing, who is the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, called me on Sunday night. He did the show last year. I think it was one of the few interviews he did. But
right.
He called me on Sunday night and said he wanted to make an announcement. And it had something to do with President Harding. And we will do that today at 1 o'clock. So we will all learn together what that is.
Yeah. So I don't have any scoop for you on it. I know that he has been in contact with his cousins, particularly Peter Harding out in Big Sur, California, who kind of spearheaded, along with Abby Harding in Columbus, the DNA, you know, the look into the DNA to see if, in fact, he was the grandson of Warren Harding, and the and that Elizabeth Ann was the daughter of the president. So that was huge news, big news, and I think the family is coming to grips with it. Some of them have not been pleased, but have slowly grown to accept it, and others have been very pleased about it and very pleased to know about it. So it's a very interesting topic.
In your opinion, how should the family feel about this? This was really big news, as you said.
Yeah. Well, I think there's no question, and this is what I wrote in my book, because I was skeptical of Nan Britton in my book, but said I was essentially agnostic about it because I didn't have enough information to say for sure. I found it interesting that in Carrie Phillips' letters with Warren Harding, that if you compared those letters to Nan Britton's book, The President's Daughter, there were what I called direct hits. In other words, she in the book would say, we were in Indianapolis on this weekend, and sure enough, that's where Harding was that weekend, you know, based on this other source of these secret love letters to Carrie Phillips. So, you know, I was skeptical about it. And at the end of that book, I wrote that it's time to really come to grips with everything related to Warren Harding's love life and put it in a compartment that this is Warren Harding's love life, and have the other compartments, not, you know, the Warren Harding the public servant, Warren Harding the president, Warren Harding the visionary, all those sorts of things have been clouded by this whispering campaign about, did he have extramarital affairs? If so, what does that mean? And in my view, people just need to accept that he was a human being, as a lot of people have affairs, a lot of people have lives like this, and say, okay, that's true. Now we can move on and not spend our time arguing about it and whispering about it. It's true. It happened. It's a part of the whole story. But the rest of the story needs to become clear, because it really has been shrouded by this overhang of both that mystery, the womanizing mystery, and the Teapot Dome, which he had nothing to do with. And let's take that shroud away. Let's move it, and let's move into real substance. What did he do as president? What was his philosophy? What were the things that he accomplished while he was president? What did he do when he was a senator? What did he think about? Those things are really important to national and world history, and have been completely lost by all of this whispering and sidebars and everything else. So I think it's a fantastic thing, and I'm really pleased that Peter Harding pursued it. I'm really pleased that Abby Harding pursued it. And, you know, as they say, the truth will make you free. Just get to the truth, understand it, put it in its context, and then really start to look at the big picture.
You know, Jim, the caveat as I see it, and I think it's what makes it different is that you're exactly right. I think we do want to concentrate on Warren Harding's legacy and get past Teapot Dome and get past the fact that he had affairs and that somehow makes him a bad person, which that's their opinion, not mine. But right. I think the difference is that, and much different than the Carrie Phillips case, is that they did have a child, and right. descendants of this child, Elizabeth, are alive. There are two sons, Jim Blessing being one of them, and who is a direct descendant of Warren G. Harding. And right. I think that's what makes it different, to the extent that I think that does change history, because Warren Harding had no children that we knew of, period. So his legacy has, in essence, been kept by historians and nephews, certainly right. not a direct descendant. So in the last year, I think this really does kind of change things, and you know, Jim Blessing, I think, wants to be a part of this, and what's your feeling on that? Should he be a part of it?
Oh, 100%. I mean, you know, my wife, who writes for the Plain Dealer, interviewed him and wrote a piece on how there, the one shameful aspect of this whole thing is that this family had to go through what it went through, including Jim, you know, as a young child growing up, knowing all of this and having to deal with it, and, you know, loving his mother and his grandmother, and kind of being this nomad. The description of his life as a little kid, you know, every now and then he would come home and there would be hordes of press out in his front yard, and it would all be about scandal, you know, and that's tough on anybody psychologically. And so that part of that story is a shame, and it's too bad that that's what happened to them. And it is time now for him to come forward and to assume his rightful place as the grandson of a president, and to understand the legacy that he has, and to understand what his grandfather was about, and for these two families to begin to merge together and heal. And I think that's what, you know, Peter Harding did have a big meeting a month ago out in Big Sur of a number of the Blessings and a number of the Harding cousins. And they all met to, you know, be part of a union process, not a reunion, and to start accepting each other as family and celebrating it all. So it is very important to me that Jim is, you know, putting himself out there, because it's a tough thing to do, and it's important that he be recognized for his courage in participating in all this and for what his rightful role is.
What exactly, in your opinion, is Jim Blessing's rightful role now that, unfortunately, Elizabeth, President Harding's child, has left us?
Well, I think his role is to carry on the family traditions, to be involved in describing, you know, his own particular situation and the situation his mother and his grandmother found themselves in. I mean, I think a lot of people can learn from this experience. You may recall, and I think, Scott, you've told me that you've read The President's Daughter, but, you know, Nan Britton kind of started a campaign for unwed mothers. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, back then it was huge scandal. It wouldn't be as scandalous today, I don't think. But still, I think, you know, understanding that those sorts of family relationships are just as much family relationships as any other, and to help other people in that condition, I think he has a role to play there, in terms of you know, being a force for good about that, about those sorts of things, the very things that his grandmother wanted to champion back when she did her book.
Now, interestingly enough, I do want to mention some of the information is leaking out from this meeting right now that's happening uptown here. And, of course, the big focus is on the 100-year anniversary of President Harding's election in 2020. And, of course, there'll be some events going on there. There's going to be some changes to the Harding home, I think, to make it more, from what I'm reading, and I'm just getting this right now, to make it more like it was back in Harding's day, and of course the construction of this presidential museum, Harding Museum, which we really don't have aside from his home, which I think is going to be here in Marion. I don't see anything saying that, but I would guess it. I don't know where it will be, because over there by the Harding home, there's not a lot of space, or how when it will be opened, or what the projected date is, or any of that. But that looks to be the information that's coming from the Harding Hotel right now. Now, that being said, what role, in your opinion, should Jim Blessing, and really Nan Britton and Elizabeth Blessing, play in that? And two in absentia, one still here.
Yeah. You know, I think that what's important here is to recognize all elements of this family, because it's not just a one-sided story. I mean, you've got Florence Harding, who was a unique individual and had her unique strengths. And, you know, the book that was written about her a number of years ago, while flawed, is still, I think, correct in its portrayal of her as a pioneering woman in many respects and a pioneering first lady in many respects. And so she can't get lost in this mix. But at the same time, you got to recognize that there were other people in Harding's life. Carrie Phillips and her family need to be recognized, and clearly, the genetic heirs need to be recognized, and their mother and their story. Because if you put this in context, the big context, Scott, is that this relationship between Warren Harding and Nan Britton arose at a time when the United States was getting into the First World War. And it arose in part, in my view, knowing a lot about this story, because there was this freeze that kind of came over the Carrie Phillips-Warren Harding relationship because of her pro-German attitude and perhaps even spying during that time. And they really had a break. And it was during that break that the Britton part of the story starts. So it really is intertwined with this huge moment in American history, really world history, where the United States made this fateful decision that we were going to get involved in the European war on behalf of the Allies. And there is a lot to be said about that, pro and con. We all grew up with high school and grade school. It was all good for us to get involved in that war. We saved the day, etc. And the story is much more complicated than that. It may have been a bad idea for us to get involved in that war, because, as you know, the result of that war was an armistice, which is not a, nobody surrendered. It was an agreement to stop fighting. And the Paris Peace Conference that Wilson went to was one that resulted in huge reparations against Germany, and gave rise to the whole theory in Germany that they had been stabbed in the back, and that, you know, helped propel the Nazi movement and Adolf Hitler in a terrible, you know, more disastrous Second World War. So, you know, that part of history needs constant looking at, constant reevaluation. And frankly, this part, this human story in the middle of all this needs to be put into that broader context. And understood in that broader context.
That being said, a press release just came out. One thing that's going to go on in the regular home, as I'm reading it right now, is that the parking lot will be extended, and they are going to try to make it look more like it did in 1920. The center is going to cost $7.3 million. I'm going to read it just as it is. The estimated $7.3 million cost of the project not only includes construction and restoration work, but also $1 million an operational endowment. According to Sherry Hall, who runs the place over there, donors have contributed $1.85 million to Harding 2020, which is what it's being called. She said donors include the Harding family, individuals, foundations, and businesses, the Jeffries Foundation, Family Foundation of Janesville, Wisconsin, has offered a $435,000 challenge grant to help fund the restoration portion of the project. Hall said $320,000 has already been contributed toward the $870,000 necessary to secure the grant, and it's expected to begin later this year. The tentative timeline for the rest of the project includes site preparation for the center in late 2017 and construction of the center beginning in 2018, set to open in 2020. And I guess we don't know where it will be built yet. I don't know if the land has been secured or not. Jim, will this be a place where people will want a visit? A lot of people visit the Harding home, but it doesn't keep regular hours. He's not one of the more well-known presidents. Is the Harding Center going to be a place that is like the Kennedy Center, a lot of people visit?
Well, not like that, but it will be very important because, you know, the home contains, I think, like 8,000 artifacts, some of which are on display, some of which are in the attic, some of which are in the basement, and it's just no way to preserve a presidential legacy. I think this is a really important step, and as I understand it, Scott, I mean, what I've been told in the past is that it's going to be like an annex building right next to the home. I think they've acquired some of the property there, and they're going to build it, and it's much needed, you know, both for displays. I think they're going to have a place for people to come and speak, and I just think it will be, you know, important both for the people who do come to visit, and there are a lot of people that like to visit presidential homes and like to hit all of them. It's much better than just having a home that you can walk through, but to have a museum, as you say, and I think a place for learning, too, that's going to be, you know, where people can come and present and talk and things like that. So I think it's really important. We only have so many presidents in the United States, and I think this is an important step in securing his legacy.
That being said, when we do go back to just, and I guess this is just a guess, but do you, Elizabeth Blessing, Harding's child, was born in 1919. Harding died in office in 1923. Do you think he knew he had a child?
I think so. And I have seen documents, some of which are privileged, related to a lawsuit that was brought in Toledo, Ohio. I don't know if you remember this or not, but Nan Britton got involved in some litigation over libel. She wrote her book, and then somebody wrote a book that was called something like The Answer to the President's Daughter, and she brought a libel suit. And I've seen documents that indicate that Harding, for example, met with one of Nan Britton's sisters, who came to talk with him about, you know, support and so forth. So I think he definitely knew. I think he absolutely knew. And I think that if you read The President's Daughter, you will see Nan Britton also saying that, you know, she obviously had lots of interactions with him about all this. And now that we know the DNA has proved it to be true, you got to read that book with a different eye and say it's likely that the things she's saying in there are true. And so I think he knew about it. I think he was in a really difficult situation. But, you know, that's one of the sad parts of this, is that he was not able to recognize or even meet the little baby. As you know, in the book, there is a scene where she actually brings Elizabeth Ann in a carriage to, like, Lafayette Park across the street, and, you know, he looks out the window or something like that. But it's a real sad part of the story. But it's one that is related in the President's Daughter, so I think it's probably true.
Does the President's Daughter belong in the Harding Museum as a work of fact now? Because for many years, people thought it was fiction.
Yeah, I think so. I think that there probably is some embellishment in it, and it's what I was trying to figure out when I was writing my book, is, you know, some of this just doesn't seem possible. I tried to get it down to the day of when, you know, she writes that she essentially lost her virginity in New York City, and on that day I have him in newspaper accounts being in Washington the next day to vote on something, and it was just, you know, the logistics of it all, I was kind of not sure that it all really works, so there may be some embellishment in it, but I think given this DNA testing, I think people should generally tend to think that it is an accurate account of what happened. And, you know, it does, as I say, there are an awful lot of direct hits about, you know, when she met with him and how their relationship started and proceeded, consistent with the other corroborative evidence in the letters with Kerry Phillips.
Because it is nearly 100 years ago, we all kind of look at this in kind of a weird way, but Nan Britton is the mother of President Harding's child. So that being said, that is who she is. She took probably more of a beating than he did in the press because she lived to 1991 and was thought of as writing this book, and people denounced her, and there were politicians who denounced her, and things went on in Nan's life that were not pleasant because of that. We certainly are working toward rehabilitating Harding's life, which I credit you a big part of it with the Harding affair. Do we also need to rehabilitate Nan Britton along with it as the mother of President Harding's only child?
You know, that is a really good point, Scott. That is a really good point, because the one thing this story tells us is, you know, women do take the brunt of the abuse when stuff like this happens. They tend to be discredited. They tend to be powerless. They tend to be, you know, subject to a lot of the buffeting and take the brunt of it. And the men, because they were more powerful, did not have to, you know, live through that sort of stuff. So that's all a part of, you know, the march towards equality among the sexes. And I think that would be a very positive part of this story to talk about how she did take this brunt, and that it was not appropriate, and that people should learn from it. And I think you're exactly right. She was scorned in all the literature, that just shows you what the time. That shows you the relative position of women at the time. Through this day, you know, that my wife likes to point out that that African American men got the vote before women got the vote. We have an African American president before we have a woman president. So there's still a lot of ways to go in terms of equality in among the sexes, and I think this is a story that should be turned in. And I think you're exactly right. A big part of this needs to be rehabilitating Nan Britton.
Now, that being said, and maybe this is maybe the most provoking question of the day, being the announcement of the Harding Center being built. We know Florence Harding will have a wing in there, or an area in there. Does Kerry Phillips deserve one? Does Nan Britton deserve one?
That's a good question. And, you know, there's a parallel. The parallel is, as you know, I've done a lot of work with John Dean, your famous Marionite, and we actually, a couple of years ago, as part of our speaking around the country, we were in Southern California. The Nixon Library is in Yorba Linda, which is in Orange County, you know, kind of south of L.A., where Nixon's was born, you know, in the house, the little house that he grew up in. And in the Nixon Library, they put in a full display on Watergate, and it was highly controversial, but you know, you can't have a Nixon Library without having a whole display on Watergate. It's part of, you know, a major part of the story. So while I don't know that they would deserve a wing, I think Florence Harding definitely, you know, as a first lady and as his spouse, longtime spouse, definitely, you know, deserves to me to be still very much a large part of his story. I do think that it's very important to explore both of those relationships in any museum that you have to Harding, because they were real, they were part of the story, and they deserve recognition. So good point.
Yeah. Well, and that being said, because Florence is kind of looked at in a different way now because of the resurgence of Nan Britton with the DNA test and the resurgence of Kerry Phillips with your book, The Harding Affair. Do you think Florence knew any of this was going on?
Yeah, I'll tell you this much. I am confident she knew about Kerry Phillips. I don't know if you remember this or not, but there is a letter in the Phillips papers from a lawyer in Columbus in 1916, in which it seems very clear, although it's written in a very obtuse style, it seems very clear that the two couples met with the lawyer over disputes. And I think that she very much knew. And then, of course, there's writing about Florence snubbing Carey. There's one famous article written right after we get into the war, where she very much snubbed this woman who, you know, was a German, you know, sympathizer. And it's very clear it's Carey Phillips. So I think that she came to know about that. Now, the better question is, did she know about Nan Britton? And my guess would be she didn't. I'd have to think long and hard about all the evidence out there, but my guess would be that she did not know about that particular relationship. But I think she definitely knew about Carey Phillips.
Jim, is there an irony that the first president elected by women, when women had the right to vote, was President Harding, a man who had two affairs we know about and a child out of wedlock?
Yeah, there is. There really is. And, you know, what you get to know about all this stuff is people in power, and it's going to happen as women become more equal, people in power have this ability to have extramarital affairs and tend to be people who kind of seek them out, I think. I think power, you know, Henry Kissinger once famously said that power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. And I think, you know, it kind of goes along with the whole story of power, that, you know, there's this tendency. Obviously, the other great example in the presidency is JFK, who had, you know, multiple interactions with women, none of them longtime affairs that I know of the kind that Warren Harding had. But I just think it's part and parcel with power and a human trait and a human bias that happens and that goes along with power. So in one sense, it is extremely ironic, given that it was the first vote for women. And on the other hand, it's kind of like emblematic of that's probably true, not just with Warren Harding, but with so many other people in power.
And I am not saying any political opinion here, but wouldn't the great irony also be that 2020, when this all goes down and the 100-year anniversary of President Harding being elected, the first time the women got the right to vote in a presidential election, that it is theoretically possible that we could have the first woman's president at that time?
Yeah, it would be. And I agree with you. I don't want to express an opinion one way or the other politically about it, but I do think that what my wife said about women's rights and women's equality, you think about that fact that African-American men got the vote, you know, what was it, you know, at the end of the Civil War, 1865, how many decades before the women got the vote, and that we've had an African-American president before we've had a woman president. So, I mean, I do think that there's still a long way to go in terms of equality among the sexes, and it's still a big issue. If you look today, as you and I sit here, women get paid less for the same jobs that men have, and so we're on that scale trying to move more towards equality, and it's actually more of a struggle than you would think, and that people recognize. And so it would be very interesting if, in fact, in, you know, on the 100th anniversary of women getting the vote, you have a woman in the White House. I'm sure it would be quite celebrated at that point.
The way things fall, it's always very interesting. And
yep.
I do want to let people know, Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, coming up at 1:10 today. If you're not in the listening area, you can listen live on the internet as it happens, www.wwgh1071.com. Jim Robinault, it is always my great pleasure to talk to you and the Harding Affair. It's been a lot of fun the last seven. I can't believe it's been 7 years since that came out.
I know. Well, you do a great job, Scott, with all of this stuff, and it, you know, I think that your stuff is always of great substance, and you keep it all going and keep it all alive. So kudos to you too.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Jim Robinault. Now we have some time here. Jim Blessing coming up, and I like Jim a lot. Jim's a real good guy, and, you know, hey, it's the grandson of President Harding, and that's going to be a lot of fun, and he's got his own announcement. We know the announcement now of everything going on in 2020, and Jim's got some things to say, and of course we'll talk about that. And the meeting with the Harding family in California that happened not too very long ago. So we'll get the inside from somebody who was there. The grandson of a president, Jim Blessing, coming up at 1:10 today, so not too far along. If anybody has an opinion on what Jim Robinault said, they can give me a call. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring. Are you excited out there in Marion about the Harding Museum coming? Are you excited that they're going to do some renovations to the Harding home? Do you think it's high time that President Harding got his due? What do you think about Nan Britton? Do you think she should be part of it? Do you think... who do you think should be a part of it? Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Oh, I think I know who this is. Peter Harding.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Peter. How you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing very well. Hey, we just...
Actually, I'm doing okay, but my wife just died about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, gosh. Well, my condolences to you.
Yeah. So, anyway...
Well, I wanted to touch base with you today because we just got word right here about 10 minutes up the road that they announced the Harding... I believe Warren and Richard are there, Harding, today.
Yes.
That the Harding Presidential Center, $7.3 million, is going to be started in 2017. 2020 will be the opening date of that. And just wanted to check with you and what you thought about that.
Well... I'm always glad to see things renewed, see his memory polished, see them fix the house up and do whatever they do to celebrate him. I mean, he's your hometown boy.
Do you think it will be highly visited?
I would hope so.
Do you think that with all the stuff we've learned in recent years with Carrie Phillips and the Harding affair and, of course, last year with... Nan Britton and Jim Blessing, and Harding has a grandchild. Do you think that will make it more interesting? Is that good for his legacy? Is that bad?
Well, Harding actually has three grandchildren, three grandsons.
That's correct, yes.
And, yeah, I think that's, you know, that's the personal side of the story. What was scandalous back in the 20s is just an enrichment to the story, as far as I'm concerned. Having living grandsons and great-grandchildren and great-grandchildren should become a part of the story.
Absolutely. Well, that being said, today is the announcement. In time that will go on, as plans will go on, where do his three grandchildren play a part in this?
Well, one of the arcs of the story is, I think, that a great mistruth has been believed. I don't think our family was consciously lying about this, believing the story to be untrue. That was the view of my father and my uncle and my grandfather. But now that it has been proven by DNA to be true, I think there's some redemption to take place. Because when you tell a mistruth for that long a period of time, it's hurtful. It's hurtful to the biologic descendants of him. It's not just enough to reveal the truth, the DNA truth. I'd like to see part of the story, his grandsons coming back to Marion and visiting the house and visiting his grave and connecting in some way, in a real way. And I think that'd be great if that could be a part of the whole celebration.
I think you're right. I guess what I'm saying from an insider's point of view, being his grandson, this is without question the closest living relative of President Harding.
Yeah.
Should he have a say in what's going on with this new museum that's being constructed, Center?
Well, if I was in a position of celebrating Harding in his life, I would want to certainly listen to his biologic relatives. I mean, they have a whole point of view on the story, and I would want them to be included in the process. I don't think they were originally. My cousin Abby got the letter from the Ohio History Connection inviting us, her and I, to be part of the process, and I think she wrote a letter back asking them to consider making the Blessings, the grandchildren, and also part of the process. So I think so far I haven't seen, and I haven't had a chance to really write my own feelings out because I've been dealing with my own wife's death, but I think that I would like to see more than just what's planned if they're not planning to include the grandchildren in any way in the process.
Jim is actually coming on next hour, so we're going to talk to Jim today, and we'll find out the skinny on that, as they say.
Yeah. While I was going through this whole thing, I've been doing some sort of meditations to kind of get myself in touch with my feelings and go deeper if I can, and I've been wondering and sort of asking my unconscious how to go about healing this, because there's a redemption involved. And one of the images I keep getting is that it would be nice if a part of this process of reimagining and relooking at the whole Harding story would be to have the grandsons come back as a part of the process, and maybe be feted at a dinner, a welcome by Mary, and sort of acknowledged, and maybe have involved that somehow with the high school, because the high school already did an interview with Jim. The high school was where Abigail Victoria, the one person in my family that kind of believed Nan, was a English teacher, and I think maybe have even been a principal of that school.
I think you're right. Is there any suppression that continues today? Is there anybody in your family who has not got on board since the New York Times article last year?
Nobody in my family has denied that. I think in the article itself, one of my cousins kind of doubted it, but he since then has had his own DNA tested and was matched to the whole thing, and I think that stopped his doubts about it.
Well,
there's one branch of the family that I don't think is enthusiastic or interested in the press and in the story becoming wider spread. But that's their own kind of conservative position.
It's going to be very interesting because Warren and Richard are here in town. Obvious reasons you could not make it. You live across the country, and certainly with the recent passing of your wife, certainly understandable. But I guess we'll find out from Jim in the next hour what his feeling is on the whole bit, if he was invited, if he would have made the trip, and what part he feels he should play, and maybe it'll all come down. As far as I know, the initial meeting has happened. A lot of preparation went into it, and I guess we'll see from there, and I
also talked to Jim Robinaugh on the phone, who wrote the whole thing about, was it Carrie Phillips?
Yes.
And he was not invited to participate in this either, even though he's one of the historians. So at this point, at least, I think whoever is in charge of this may decide not to include the Harding love affairs in the story. So I just think it would be a richer story if everything was included, because the story of his last love affair and his child is a tragedy, really, and it has a kind of Shakespearean proportion to it. So I think it would definitely be an exciting element to the story. I have a friend that recently visited Monticello, and the whole Sally Hemings story has now been included in their historical presentation. So I just think it would be better to include everybody that's written about this, including all aspects of his affairs, because that was undeniably a part of his personality and his story.
We're running a little short of time, but you set me up there, and I have two questions for you. One, do we know who is running this event? And number two, does Nan Britton and the president's daughter belong in this new museum? Because they're not in the home right now at all.
I think they belong in the museum because they're part of the story. Not necessarily in the house itself, because that was the turf of Florence Kling, and I think she has an amazing story herself, and they were not... Anyway, you'll have to talk to the Blessings about that. They have different feelings about that, but I'd like to see them represented in the museum somewhere. I'd love to see it if they bought figure out which one was Nan Britton's house, and if that was part of the whole thing. I mean, the story is going to continue to kind of enchant people as it comes out, because it's a love story.
Do we know who's running...
What was the first part of that question?
Do we know who's running this thing?
I have a letter from Ohio History Connection signed by Bert Logan, Executive Director of Ohio History Connection, and Sherry Hall, Site Manager, Harding Home Presidential Site. So I assume that they're the ones that are deciding this.
Well, let me ask you this with 30 seconds left, Peter. Has there been, we've talked about the family, has there been anger in the last year because it is so new from people like that who aren't part of the family but who are trying to preserve his history. The Sherry Halls here in town, the people from the Ohio Historical Society, do they feel, in just in your opinion, that they want to push the grandsons to the side?
I don't know anything about, I don't know Bert Logan at all. I understand that when the story first hit, that Sherry Hall felt kind of blindsided by it, and I can understand her feelings. We did not leak the story to her before we went public with it, because that was part of the deal with the New York Times, that they have access to the story and would break it. So you'll have to ask them. I think that I was told by Abby that Sherry Hall, that she talked to her and she was very gracious, and she kind of got over her annoyance at being scooped and understood it, and they were going to make some kind of accommodation, or they were going to look into acknowledging the grandchildren.
Well, hopefully that happens. And I say, Jim, coming up next hour, Peter, if you want to listen online, it's www.wwgh1071.com. Jim will be on in about 10 minutes.
Okay, well, I'll have to listen to a tape of it because I'm 73 and my son does all the technology, and I have no idea how to get to that.
I understand. And again, my condolences on your wife, and I hope we talk soon.
Yeah, and next time if you want to talk, give me a warning. I called a whole bunch of times before this and got it busy, but I'm afraid I wasn't going to get in. So if you want some real time with me sometime, just give me a warning, okay?
Thank you, Peter.
Okay, bye-bye.
Peter Harding, nephew of President Warren G. Harding. Now we're down to 3 minutes. Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Harding, right around the corner. 740-383-9944. Does Nan Britton belong in the Harding Museum? Does Jim Blessing? Does Elizabeth Blessing, the daughter of President Harding? It's all fascinating. Do you like the idea of this new center being built in Marion? $7.3 million coming up to start in 2017, finish in 2020. It's going to be a big deal here in Marion, the 100th anniversary of the election of President Warren G. Harding. Do you think these affairs, as they were, hurt his legacy? Do they help? Has anybody out there read The President's Daughter? What do they think? I know we're on limited time here, but 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What is your opinion? And again, Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding, coming up just after the 1 o'clock break. So he'll be on about 1:10, 1:15, and we'll have him for the hour. And if there's any time at the end of that, we'll take some phone calls. But it's a fascinating day here in Marion when it concerns President Harding. And that's what this station's named after, WWGH, Warren G. Harding. So we're right in there with everything else. And maybe this is the place where all this news should go down. What a fascinating, fascinating day. Fascinating day of events. And great people to have on so far. We thank Jim Robinault, the author of The Harding Affair, the book on Kerry Phillips, for coming on early on. And everybody else. Hey, you're live on WWGH Radio. Go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to know if Nan ever told her son who her dad was.
Well, I tell you what, Jim will be on in about 10 minutes. Keep listening, and we'll ask him that question.
Okay. And you said Peter was the nephew?
Peter is a great nephew, I believe.
Who was his father?
President Harding's brother.
President Harding's brother?
Yes.
How many brothers did he have?
I think he had two. I'm not sure on that, but I think he had two.
Two?
Yeah. And Warren Harding and Richard Harding, who are also nephews, are in Marion today. Do you like the idea that the town...
Now, Richard Harding is who?
He's a nephew as well. Great nephew.
Too.
Two great nephews.
Okay.
Do you think it's... do you like the fact that Marion's going to have a $7.3 million center built?
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
It's coming, 2020. You'll be here to see it.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you for calling in.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. We'll pass that along to Jim. Jim, if you're out there listening, did your grandmother tell your mother that she was the daughter of President Harding? That's a question on the table. 740-383-9944. The story continues, and boy, we couldn't say this before a year ago, and we're so happy to say it now. 10 minutes, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding. Jim Blessing, exclusively here on WWGH Radio, the day the $7.3 million Harding Center and renovations are announced. Stay with us, back after the break.
One went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got out in the woods, the night grew dark, and